listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got into a Deshaun rabbit hole. Can you say Deshaun hole? You got into a... Is that something that's acceptable?
I don't think his proclivities keep you from using the English language. You can say a rabbit hole.
A Deshaun rabbit hole? Is that...
That's fine.
Is that a pseudonym or
something?
You didn't even think about that?
No, until you brought it up yourself. Rabbit hole is fine. It's a phrase used.
What's going on in there?
I don't know. I don't even think I called that a rabbit hole.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
You think a rabbit's crawling? I don't think a rabbit.
I don't know.
He pulled a rabbit out of his hole. It's a hat. You don't pull rabbits out of a hole.
Yeah, I know. It just seems like there's been a lot of digits there.
The man likes what he likes.
That's all.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So anyway, day to day with that. Our Astros won 3-0. 3-0. How's that taste, Dodgers, in the greatest atmosphere ever for a regular season game? How did that taste? Tell me how that tasted. I'm not going to say it like Shaq said it, because that's ugly what Shaq said.
I mean, but it was rude, certainly.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I mean, and mostly, I mean, the game itself is important because, you know, you want to get your distance from the A's, and the A's lost, so you gained a great game on them. But
great night all the way around.
Yeah, but just the environment of walking in there and knowing Dodger fans had pinned their hopes on this night, and they thought it was going to be one of those things where they could just celebrate all night long, and then they took it right on the chin. Congratulations. All that energy.
You call it on the chin. I call it something else.
Okay. All that energy they expended to, you know, get upset and make sure it was hell for the Astros. And then your team hit like trash. It didn't score a run. Got shut out by the likes of Stanek and Blake Taylor in a big situation. You suck, Dodgers. Congratulations. Can Cody Bellinger ever return to form? Is he going to be awful? He's just going to be awful from now on.
Well, you know, it is amazing how he. It's just amazing how he is. He and Yelich both fell off. I mean, they were unbelievable, and then something happened that it's just a suck. Now, because they were talking about it on the broadcast last night, is, well, you know, Trey Turner is here now. It's going to be awfully difficult. Who's going to play? Who's not going to play? Dave Roberts has a lot of, you know, massaging egos because you got to get another guy in there that's a good ball player. I know where he goes. He goes right where Cody Bellinger is, because that dude sucks. Anytime you got a 160 hitter in the lineup, I know where you should play for that guy. Even though you're giving him all that money, well, you just told Trevor Bauer. How about the Trevor Bauer? They could have Trever Bauer, and they don't. They don't, and I don't know that they can for the rest of the year. I don't know that Trevor Bauer can ever pitch for the Dodgers again.
It's a better chance of Deshaun playing for the Texans and Bauer pitching for the Dodgers this year. They've just got to be too worried that more stuff's going to come out.
Yeah, or just you can't look at your fan base anymore and go, you know. And I think that's some of what of the Deshaun thing. The Texans are going, no, we don't want this on our resume. Every single day a Deshaun news comes up. It's Texans quarterback, Deshaun, Texans quarterback, Texans. They're associated with all of this stuff, salacious stuff that they don't want any part of with their organization.
I think it was Joel who said this. I'd never thought about this. But do you remember when the Texans, and this is just, I don't know if it's conspiracy theory or whatever, but I think I was listening to Joel and Patrick a couple days ago. One of them talked about the fact, or somebody I heard on the air said, remember when the equipment staff got fired?
Yeah.
Or people in that.
Well, I saw the equipment guy out at Wildcat. He's getting paid by him, and Joel's thing was,
is there any chance...
He's a great guy, by the way.
Without going into too much detail, I'm not going to go into too much detail on this, but somebody, there was a time that the Texans got rid of somebody. I don't know how I should say this. The Texans have previously gotten rid of somebody who was setting things up
for someone else.
And I'm not going to say anything else, but that guy got gotten rid of. Joel brought up the fact, brought up this. Is there any chance that these guys were, any of these guys were dismissed because they were involved in bringing the table to the Houstonian? Yeah. Massage table involved in.
I don't want to put it on anybody.
I'm just, reason I bring that up, because they brought that up. And if you do entertain that at all, then that would mean, if you look at the timetable of when the Texans got rid of those guys, wouldn't that mean that they knew about Deshaun?
Well, maybe.
I'm just saying from the timetable.
Yeah.
If you tried to work under that assumption,
that's all speculative, though.
Yeah, and but you've wondered if the Texans knew, haven't you?
I firmly believe the Texans had no idea until the accusations came.
So none of this got to them first?
Not the front office, no.
You know for a fact, like I do, a lot of times, a police department, if they get a whiff of something or whatever, they will tell somebody with club security or whatever, hey, this could be coming. Because the Texans have been around so long that they have friends in high places and people who will whisper. I don't think it's out of the – I'm not accusing them of knowing in advance, because my gut tells me they didn't know. Legitimately, my gut tells me they didn't know. Is there a chance, though, that somebody had whispered, hey, you may have some issues with your quarterback? Oh, absolutely. Because you know enough people behind the scenes in different sports where those people hear stuff all the time.
It's logical, and it could have happened. I just think it's speculative. I don't know. We don't know. So I'm not going to accuse the Texans of knowing. They got rid of those guys. I saw Mike out at Wildcat one day.
And everybody loves that guy, too,
by the way. He is the best. He's the nicest guy. And, I don't know. I don't want to say that he knew, didn't know. I don't know. Kevin Krakovic and Doug West, I don't know. I don't know what they knew, what they didn't. I know this. The speculation was that unless Jack Easterby hired you, you're not beholden to him. So there's a good chance you're going to get fired. And a lot of people have gotten fired. So I have no idea. Ben is here. He wants to talk about Deshaun. What do you say, Ben?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'd like to address the gentleman that want to get drafted by the white people first.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm beating the knees, man. We can give you like a 5-year contract and like 25 by knees. I don't know. Meet me in Bel Air. We can talk about it. Discussing Deshaun, wouldn't it be better to have him sitting on the sideline, like doing what he's doing right now, so that he's not taking away reps from Davis Mills? I'll hang up and listen.
But he's not taking what? Reps?
He said, wouldn't it be better to have him not taking away reps from Davis Mills?
Yes. It's absolutely. And listen, now that the pads are on and whatnot, I think it was just here, Deshaun, stand here, but it's gotten to the point where, I don't know that you'll see Deshaun on the field again. It's just like, and then the media will ask every day, just like they asked yesterday, and you can play David Culley. Here's David Culley's response. Where was Deshaun today? He wasn't out there.
Watson injured, was he in the building?
Well, as I said before, we're day-to-day with it. The only thing that's changed from the standpoint of that is we make decisions every day based on what's best for our football team, and I'm going to leave it at that.
You can't tell us why he decided to practice today?
Again, I'm going to leave it at that.
And that's it. And that's the company line. I mean, he made the mistake of talking about Deshaun in the offseason. He went and got his wrist slapped. He got his hand slapped.
He learned.
Answer is, all I'm going to say about that.
By the way, I got no problems with that. There's nothing he can say. No. There's nothing he's in his first year. Now, he's maintaining his patience. He strikes me as a patient guy. I don't think he's ever going to lash out and go full Bill O'Brien on anybody. That's all David Culley can say.
Well, I was surprised Nick Caserio, who's a New England guy, had the patience of 9 straight Deshaun questions.
But he is
and
a robot.
Every answer he's was
a,
the
he's
same.
They call him a cyborg, because he's just just straight ahead.
Yep.
You got a nice guy and a cyborg now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have Bill O'Brien held both positions, and he was literally the Mad King.
Mm-hmm.
He was literally Robert Baratheon.
Mm-hmm.
He was a guy who just was ill-equipped to be a general manager and just a little too much at times to be a head coach, just dealing with him. Dave Culley is going to be right down the middle of the fairway every time.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. You guys happy to be here, Camp Culley? And then Nick Casario is like,
telling you about David Culley?
It's Camp Casario.
Well, I like Camp Culley.
I like Camp Culley.
I like Camp Culley.
I mean, he's the head coach.
Yeah.
He's the one running practice. You call it Camp Casario, you're basically just cutting out the legs from under your own head coach. Isn't that weird that 6th Inn does that? They just say, it's the GM's camp. It's not the the coach doesn't matter.
Well, it doesn't matter. Come on.
Yes, he does.
I want to tell you about Bo Culley.
Hey, let me tell you something. If they
I'm going to tell you about David Culley.
Who's a,
if they?
I'm going to tell you about David Culley.
If they win seven games
Culley.
This year.
I like Culley.
If they go 7-10.
What
and
if
then
we
the
get
next year,
to David
they
Culley?
They go 9-8. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
David, I mean, not Bo Culley. David Culley. It's now I'm trying to remember names with. Is it Bo? Is it David? I think David Culley is the guy that we're all going to like.
I
don't think there's any doubt. Everybody in football loves
this
guy.
I like him. Honestly, that's a guy on I couldn't. In the back of my mind, every Sunday, I was like, looking at Bill O'Brien. What an a-hole. I can't root for that guy. I just can't. It just. No, he sucked. And, well, I guess, but you did too. So I just couldn't root for him. I can root. David Culley's a guy you can root for.
Yeah, 100%. You can root for David Culley.
He's a nice guy.
I want David Culley to do well in year two.
Yes,
not
I'm
year
tell
one,
you about
I
David
want a high
Culley.
Draft pick.
And listen.
I want the Texans to lose a lot.
I want him
and
to
I
be...
want an early pick. No. Early
yeah,
pick.
Why,
yeah,
I why want are you him to asking be... for 7-10? What are you doing?
Well, yeah. No.
I just want him to be a contributing member of society again after, you know,
what?
His habit.
Oh, you think now that he's gotten over his problem, he can be productive?
Yeah. Yes, he can be productive in society.
Well, I hope so. Because
that's a made-for-TV movie.
I know you can't get out to training camp, but if you ever get the opportunity to ask David Culley a question, can you say, hey, can I see your chip? not your nacho chip, but the chip you have to grab every time you pass a landmark from the... Since you're a junkie.
Yeah.
Who's a junkie?
Who's your number that you have to call?
Yeah.
Who's your sponsor?
Who's your sponsor?
Hey, we got a new advertiser. And
you think
I
he knows
tell you,
that that is a.
No, of course.
He
doesn't.
He has any
he
idea?
We're the only idiots who latched on to that.
We got to get back to the Astros on the other side because there's people that have been listening for a while and we haven't even talked about our Astros. So we're doing that on the other side. But we got a new sponsor to the show. So I'm going to tell you how much I love these guys. We met with them last Thursday and we had a meeting and whatnot. We were over at Luling's and so afterwards you had to run because you had to take care of your kids.
Yeah.
But I was sitting at the bar and I said, hey, Billy, do you want a beer? And he goes, well, I got to get back to work. He went out the door and he walked right back in and he said, yeah, I'm going to have some beer. And we sat there for a while. And this is I'm talking about a great. He and his sister Mary are great people. And listen, the stuff that they tell us about, and one of the things that is so important is a free estimate. Is that you other plumbing companies are going to come to your house and they're going to say, "Okay, give us $69 just for showing up."
Mm-hmm.
Aqueduct Plumbing Company, absolutely free with fair quotes and honest pricing and no extra add-ons.
And you're talking to the owners when you call. Like this is a big deal. But I'm going to just tell you. Houston has gone crazy on the repiping because so many people had issues after the big winter freeze. And so repiping has become a big, big thing for Houstonians. They get it done in one day. There's a lot of companies that take a lot more time. They're one day. So don't wait for property damage or mold invasion. Call Houston's repipe experts and installation is going to be done by them, not a subcontractor. So everything is handled in-house. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. It's AQUE, AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. They are home of the $49.94 one-day repipe, and they are at your disposal. Get it? 281-488-6238. Call right now for your plumbing issues or put it in your cell phone for when you do need this help. 281-488-6238.
This is ESPN 97.5. Fun sports.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know, that was like, I mean, that was a playoff atmosphere, you know? And, you know, these fans are in love with the Dodgers. You know, I was here. And they indeed bleed Dodger blue. And, boy, it was exciting. You know, not often would I have loved to play in a game because I'm so far removed from playing, but this is a game I would enjoy playing in, I think.
I mean, that's a former Dodger that loved the atmosphere.
He's one of the Mr. Dodgers. I'm sure the fans have no ill will towards Dusty, but Alex said David Culley's the Texans' version of Dusty Baker. He's likable and fell into a situation. Well, Dusty fell into a tough situation, but with a talented team. Culley fell into a tough situation with a not-so-talented team. Those are two different situations they fell into, by the way.
Yeah. Performance issues. Get Roman. That's all you got to do. Did you see this? Brian McTaggart. Records against teams with 500 records or better. Astros, 43-25. 18 games over 500,
mm-hmm.
The Astros. Dodgers, 23-26. First of all, they've only played 49 games against teams that are 500 or better, while the Astros have played 68. The Astros, 18 games over 500. Dodgers, 3 games under 500. Now, they don't, you know, it'll be interesting. You know, Walker Buehler, he looks really good, and he's vying for the Cy Young. What with DeGrom being down, he's got a chance to win the Cy Young. Although I don't know how the way that DeGrom pitched, even missing half the season, I don't know how you don't give him the Cy Young. But they're gonna throw Scherzer, Buehler, and Kershaw in the postseason. So I don't know who has pitched for them against 500 teams. Probably their Urias or whomever. That it maybe some of that is that. But let's face it, the Astros with a 43-25 record have faced a lot of the same stuff, and with 68 games, the Astros have faced a lot of that. That's why this is the deepest rotation in the game.
The Astros don't scare easy. That's just a fact. I mean, they don't scare easy. The Dodgers have. If you sweep the Dodgers, you look at when you compare these two teams, I think the Astros have more clutch hitting. The Dodgers have a deep lineup. But, you know, Bellinger, this is what's different than 17. Bellinger was a really good player all year long, and then he just lost it in the postseason. The Astros just had his number. And for the Astros, they're not as deep as they once were from a hitting standpoint because Bregman's out. Yuli was out yesterday. Bregman's out, but you don't have George. That 17 season, yeah, they benefited from the trash can stuff. You had some players who had career years, no question. But that was a team that just had, I mean, they were just talented. They were just a talented hitting group. And you still have some talent, I'd say, maybe not to the same extent necessarily, but you also didn't have Yordan back then. And Yordan was the guy who plugged two runs yesterday and put that thing out of reach. And that's a big, you know, Yordan Alvarez on this team, you may not have George anymore, and you may have lost, you know, what George brings to the table, but never, ever overlook what it means to have a player like Yordan Alvarez, who at any point can put a game out of reach or at any point can get you back into a game. His power is the kind of power that will scare a rotation. It really will. So the Dodgers have, when they were showing their big three, Walker Buehler, and then Clayton Kershaw, and then Max Scherzer, yeah, that's not going to be a lot of fun to see in the postseason. Yeah. I'll grant you that. But if the Astros can somehow find a way, Scherzer's going to be so hyped today. The Dodgers fans are just going to be so hyped. It is going to be... Man, this game tonight is going to be can't miss also.
Yeah, well, Scherzer and Odorizzi, doesn't have the same ring. And, oh, by the way, they're bigger favorites than they were last night. Obviously, that matchup was better than the one tonight. Scherzer against Odorizzi is the Astros come out of this one. They sweep the Dodgers with this atmosphere and this hatred for them. This will be tonight's win would be the biggest of the year. I think the situation, I thought on the road, the way that they played with the hatred and the buildup and all of this stuff, and especially coming off of the Giants series in Seattle, this road trip is as difficult as it gets. Last night's win might have been the best win of the season. Mm-hmm. Might have been the best win of the season. And then I thought...
pretty cool for McCullers to get it, too.
I thought the Garrett Cole win when they were 15-15 would be second, and the third would be Altuve's three-run homer, the sixth run. Even though that was the most fun win of the season, you know, that went into the All-Star break. You couldn't build any momentum off of it. That Garrett Cole win, you built a bunch of momentum. Now, you could lose tonight, and you know, nothing from nothing, though. You at least did not get swept in Dodger Stadium. And that, what those people were just dying to sweep you. They just wanted to beat the Astros' ass in the worst possible way, and this is what you did to them. So that is awesome. There were all kinds of fights last night at Dodger Stadium, and it's all Dodger on Dodger violence.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, it's mostly Dodgers. Well, it's just going to show you what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Now, the first video that Dez has pinned is that
was old.
When they were in here. Yeah.
Yeah, that was old. That was here. But these other ones in the stands, it's against security. It's Dodger fans throwing stuff at Dodger fans.
Yeah, Dodger fans are like that.
Dodger fans don't care. He's going to throw something. He's going to yell. He's going to try and fight you. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. And my buddy was there yesterday, Martin, and you saw him on the broadcast. He was the guy that was sitting there with all the Astros gear on. I told him before the game, I said, don't wear Astros gear.
You see what Josh Reddick, he posted Loki. You know who Loki is?
I don't know who Loki is, but I see
Dale, can you tell John who Loki is? Because I don't really know. I just know he's a mischievous guy who is one
he's
of your
Thor's half-brother who's always...
comics
it's Marvel.
Whatever.
Don't slander.
He's a bad guy.
He's an anti-hero.
Because I saw... Yeah, Josh, I saw it at the Astros or something. Somebody had a Loki comment yesterday, and I was like, I don't understand what you're talking about.
Anti-heroes like the Astros, you lean into it.
Yeah. He's Josh an anti-hero? Reddick,
like, yeah, where
you don't like him, but he's a good guy?
No. It's where he has some negative qualities, but he's also, sometimes he provides some positive qualities. He's riding that middle where you don't even know exactly what
and
he
that's,
is.
And that's fine.
That's fine.
I'll lean on that. That's fine. Yeah, that can be the Astros. I don't care.
He doesn't look like Thor's brother. He's not big enough, though.
But he's
the
little.
But he's
too.
The runt of the litter.
But Josh. Oh,
well, if I have to get into it, he's adopted.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The Astros are adopted.
The point of this is we're not doing a. I didn't mean to get into a whole Loki.
You told
backstory.
Me to explain
I know,
it. To
I know.
Him.
But Josh Reddick posted a picture of him 7 hours ago, which means after the game was over, Josh Reddick just had this picture of him smiling. And you know that that's
Josh
all
Reddick
about,
loving it.
That's
I love
all
that.
About
that Josh Reddick,
Dodgers Astros. Yeah. Dodgers Astros. Yep.
Yep. Yep. I just love that Josh Reddick loves that. Well, first of all, is he still with the Diamondbacks? Is he still on your team? We don't. No one knows. He's in the division with the Dodgers. He can't like them. He plays them 19 times a year, so he can't possibly like them.
And do they?
And it's
him?
His former team with the champs. Beating him.
Does he get immunity or does he get booed by Dodger fans?
Oh, he gets booed probably. Okay. Yeah. He probably gets booed. Mookie Betts, do they boo Mookie Betts with the cheater from Boston?
No, he's on their team.
Wait a minute, but he was a cheater in Boston.
Joe Kelly, Mookie Betts? No.
Joe Kelly was a cheater in Boston. No. They boo him, right?
Is he wearing Dodger blue?
Or is he the hero? Isn't he Loki?
He's the hero because of him taunting the Astros when he was here.
Oh, he's a hero, but not Loki-like. I know, is he Loki-like?
Actually, he probably has a bit of that in him, but Joe Kelly's not as cool.
Is Loki a douchebag like Joe Kelly?
Sometimes.
Yeah?
Sometimes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, just asking. I'm asking for a friend, because I don't care.
Well, what friend do you know who cares about this?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Not you. You're my friend.
No.
You're one of my best friends.
No.
829 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're right. Dodgers fans are just, I mean, yeah, Dodgers fans are fighting all over the place.
That's all they're doing. They just fight. That's all.
They're fighting each other. They fight security. They said it was unbelievable how many fights broke out in the stands yesterday. That. I mean, this is why.
Well,
and this is why I probably wouldn't wear Astros.
I told my buddy, don't do it, but he was fine. I think he was fine. He texted me. I texted him as he was leaving the stadium. I didn't hear from him since then. I'm just hoping he's not dead. That's all.
Oh, you haven't heard from him since then?
I haven't heard from him since
then. Oh, I don't like hearing that.
No, I think he got on a red eye and he's heading back. So I hope he made it and it didn't die. That's all I'm asking.
That guy is a fly in, fly out guy. When I went to see National Championship Texas and Alabama, yeah. The little squirrely quarterback.
Yeah, not, and his brother had
not
a half
Case,
a face.
But, whoo!
Yeah.
What's his name? Not Chance, Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy got broken by Alabama. I get to the airport after the game's over, and there's our guy, and he's just like, hey, what are you doing here? I'm like, what are you doing here? He goes, oh, you should have hit me up. I was up with Denzel Washington in a suite.
Yeah.
You could have come up. I'm like, what do you mean I should have hit you up? How would I have known you'd even be here?
Well,
he goes, come on.
Well,
I'm everywhere.
So that same guy, who's my boy, I didn't know him all that well back in 2006.
Right.
I was in L.A.
That was 2009 or 10.
Yeah, 10, whatever it was. He called me. I flew into L.A., I get out to get there. He calls me. He said, oh, hey, are you here? You coming? Yeah, I'm here. He said, what do you need? I got everything you could possibly need. And I was like, I got scared. I said, no, I don't need nothing. Bye. I got to go. Bye. I don't need anything. No. No.
Bye.
Bye. I'm married. I love Wendy. Bye. I don't need anything.
What do you need?
What do you need?
Nothing.
Anything you need. I got it. No, I don't need nothing.
Scared. Bye.
I'm scared. Bye. you know what I'm scared of? If I don't have insurance.
TGS Insurance. You know what you should be? Something could happen to your house. You should also be scared that, well, I will warn you in advance. The first time you text the word money to 232323 and you get that quote from TGS Insurance where they take the aggregate A-rated insurance companies they have and they shop your address through them with their algorithm. They get responses back in seconds, and they pass that along to you within seconds, within 15 seconds. You're going to have a firm quote on your homeowner's insurance. It's going to be a little jarring if you've been staying with the same company for years and years, the amount you're going to save. Talked to one guy in Deer Park, saved $3,000 for one full year. I think he had a couple properties or an RV or whatever the case may be. But so many people are finding out that they have been throwing away money for a long time. And once you get over that and you realize you can start saving, you're going to be happy. But I am going to warn you that you will find out you've been throwing money away for years. And all you have to do is start shopping homeowners insurance with TGS Insurance. Remember, even after this year is over and you switch over with them and, you know, it's time next year for a new quote, they will shop it for you all over again. They're always looking for the lowest price for you for A-rated homeowners insurance. And they make it super easy. Text the word money to 232323 or go to the website for more information at tgsinsurance.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5.
Sometimes we like to sneak up on people with this segment so they don't know it's coming.
Yeah, so we don't get Art saying, what the bleep? Why are we doing this anymore? I'll tell you why we're doing it, Art. Because the people love it. 20 for 20. I like to call it 30 for 30, but we're only going to do 20, Art. So, okay, you win. It's only going to be 20 for 20. So if you're looking for all your Texans talk, it's right here in Camp Cully. Camp Cully right here. We like to call it 20 para 20.
Who's next up, Dale?
It's funny you ask, Lance.
Tyrod Taylor.
Or Tyrod.
The Texans' likely 2021 starter is Tyrod Taylor. Now, he has not been a full-time starter since 2017, so we'll get to those numbers when he was a starter in 2017. Over the course of his career, he has 47 starts. His career record is 24-21-1. I don't know. You know, that adds up to 46, so I'm not sure where the other star went. But he is 24-21 as a starter. His those records include 7-6, 7-8, 8-6, 1-1-1. And then he was 1-0 last year with the Chargers. But, of course, we know he had 30 passes in that game, had no touchdown passes. The very best season he has been with the Buffalo Bills back in 2015. It was a magical season. He ended up making an alternate Pro Bowl, and he ended up getting into the Pro Bowl game because of the alternate status. He had 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He is a guy who keeps the interception total low, which is something the Texans are going to like. Mm-hmm. As a starter, 1.6% interception rate, 1.4% interception rate, and a league-best 1.0 interception rate per pass. Interception rate of anything under 2 is
and
good.
And he played in 14 games that year.
Yeah.
Well, 15 games. He started 14 of them.
Yeah, in terms of, you know, his...
So it's not like it was, you know, he led the league.
No, 420 pass attempts, and his interception rate was just a 1.0. He's not a guy that's going to throw a lot of touchdown passes. 2017 and 14, the 3 years he was a full-time starter with the Buffalo Bills. But he is a player from a yards per attempt standpoint that, other than 2015, where he averaged 8 per game, it has really been tough sledding for him, John. Less than 7 yards per attempt. And that's even with completion ratings percentages that have been over 60% in two of the next 3 years. The year that he was, it was 49% in 2018. But the bottom line is, he was a full-time starter for 3 years, 2015 through 2017, and he has not been a full-time starter since then. That was the plan last year with the Chargers. He was injured because of a mishap with team medical staff. It opened a door for the eventual rookie of the year in Justin Herbert. So that was certainly beyond the control of Tyrod Taylor there. And he did start off the year as a starter with the Cleveland Browns in 2018, but Baker Mayfield ended up taking that over as well.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this is a Texan thing, he's going to be sacked a lot. He, and maybe some of it is holding on to the football, maybe some of it is a bad offensive line in Buffalo, but he led the league with 42 sacks back in 2016. He also had 46, he got sacked 46 times in 2017, 36 times. When he's been a starter, he gets sacked and yeah, actually led the league that one time.
That's not great.
No, that really isn't.
But does he run the football?
He doesn't. Well, he's got 1,850 career yards in 342 attempts.
As a starter, he made some things happen.
Yeah.
14 rushing touchdowns in 3 years as a starter. 3 years as a starter, 568 yards, 580, and 427 yards, averaging for his career over 5 yards a carry. So he is a guy that does allow you to do some zone read stuff if you want to work it into the package. He can scramble, get outside of the pocket, move the chains with his legs. That is something that even now, a few years into his career, Tyrod Taylor still has that ability.
Yeah. Now, he has had some injury issues, not his fault in with the Chargers, but in Cleveland he got hurt. So I don't know. We'll see whether or not. And plus, he's an older player now. He's 32 years old heading into this season. So, or he will be 32 this season. So I don't know how much that is going to play into his game still. But you know what? He is now, this is a very Texan thing. You were good in 2016 and 17. Come on. Let's get you in here as soon as we can. This is an experiment that we're going to have to find out, you know, how much is left in that tank and how much does he remember how to play? Lance, he hasn't played much football at all since 2017. So,
but he has been a backup. I mean, he's been on rosters taking reps and things like that. But yeah, from a starting standpoint, the plans were to be a starter in Cleveland. It didn't last long. The plans were to be a starter with the Chargers. He had the injury. That certainly didn't last long because Justin Herbert played fantastic. So that's something to keep in mind. Let's take a look now at, let's go a little deeper into the numbers.
Advanced stats.
Advanced stats. I'm going to go all the way back to 2017 and pull his advanced stats out because that's the last time that he was a full-time starter. In that season, he had a big-time throw percentage of just 3.1%, which is very, very low by Pro Football Focus's standards. That's something that really doesn't show off the arm talent a whole lot, and that's something that Terod's got an arm, but I don't know that it's an arm that's going to wow a lot of the fans out there. He suffered from 25 drops in that year, so a completion percentage, he had a completion percentage of 59.2, but his adjusted completion percentage, once you eliminate those drops, 69.6%. So even though his completion percentage was a little lower the last time out as a full-time starter, he did suffer quite a bit from very poor hands from his wide receiving crew. His quarterback rating was just 80.4, not very high there. Average depth of target, only 8.9 yards. So inside the numbers there, that's not really looking down the field, and that is going to be a concern when you have guys like Nico Collins, who I think needs to get down the field some and open up those legs. Another interesting number is the amount of passes in front of the sticks. He's a guy who has some issues at times getting that first down throw on third down. He'll throw it a little short and will come up short, and it'll be three and done, or you'll be off the field in a punting situation. As far as his average time to throw, 3.14 that season. And that gets to the point, it's a pretty consistent issue with Terod Taylor hanging onto the football. And that gets to your point about the 52 sacks. Like 40, Deshaun 42. Watson.
42
in a 42. He had 52 in 2017. Like Deshaun Watson, the Texans are going to do their job at times and still give up a sack because Terod Taylor is going to hang on to the ball and look to make some things happen. Another concerning statistic, and likely due to his size, he's not a real big quarterback, 15 batted passes
in
2017, which is a lot higher than you want to see. And that can be a case where you're staring down receivers too often and giving defensive linemen a chance to really line up your eyes and knock the throws down. Can also get to your delivery point being a little bit lower, and of course, your overall size in the pocket. So those are some things inside the number. Passes broken up, another interesting number, 33 passes broken up against. What that tells you is that he's staring guys down.
Trying to throw into a small window.
Cornerbacks are jumping on top of throws. And, yeah, the arm talent to throw into small windows may not be what you want when you have that many passes.
Okay, what's the last one, Del?
Stay or go.
Go. I mean, he's not a long-term answer. We know that.
Well,
he might be here for a couple of years.
But, you know, he could be. He could be that career back. He could be the backup guy for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You took Davis Mills with a third.
We know that if Davis Mills doesn't work, and first of all, he's go because he can't start all year. Davis Mills has to get out there. You have to see unless you see enough that Davis Mills can't even practice well enough, unless you see that you can't possibly put Davis Mills on the field, so then you know you're going to have to draft a quarterback early next year. Terod Taylor is a go already this year. He can't be on the field because you've got to see what Davis Mills has. Secondly, if Davis Mills is the long-term answer, then Davis Mills needs to be on the field anyway. And if he's not, then you're going to have to draft a quarterback. So I don't a long-term answer, maybe as a backup, you may be right. And as long as he's going to take whatever money you'll
but
give him as a backup.
He's got a one-year deal. And so that's what makes it less likely is, look, he has a one-year deal. Is that the kind of guy that you would like to, let's say you ended up with a Malik Willis. Let's say you ended up with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of quarterback you would want behind him as a veteran to mentor and potentially step in and get you some starting reps. But the fact that they took, and this is why it was so puzzling to me, the fact that you took a quarterback in the third round in Davis Mills, you must really like him a lot. And I think the Texans really do like him a lot. And if that's the case, I doubt that they are going to have, unless Davis Mills is a starter of the future, I doubt that they will take a look at Tyrod Taylor beyond this year. But at 32 years of age, that's still relatively young for a quarterback. And for guys with starting experience, if he has a solid year this year, that is something that maybe could get him a look from the Texans, saying, "Hey, we are going to bring you back, and we'll load your contract up with potential incentives that if you become the full time starter." But with Davis Mills there, and a third rounder being used on him with the potential to draft a quarterback early next year, you are going to need a veteran quarterback. But is he going to be willing to come back to a team where he thinks he can't start? That's going to be the question.
Yeah. I think we can pass on the fantasy thing here, can't we? Can we pass on that?
I'll address. Fire it out there real quick. Let's just fire off the sound.
We're way behind on this segment everybody
fantasy
loves.
Football.
But fantasy, this segment everybody loves so much.
Fantasy Outlook.
Okay.
His fantasy outlook is
zero chance he gets drafted by in any league.
Is just not great because usually you could look his wide receiving core. You might take a late flyer on him if he had a DeAndre Hopkins, but he doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins.
He's a pickup in every league.
Not going
he'll be
to
be drafted in 1% of the leagues.
He's going to be a pickup. He might be. You might find it. You might be like, oh, Tyrod Taylor went for 250 yards and two touchdowns and had a rushing touchdown. 40. And he's got a game coming up against, you know, the Jaguars. Let's pick him up this week because I got a bye week. That's about all.
That's about it. Everybody loves this segment. It is fantasy amazing, out, the fantasy response.
Fantasy Outlook. Advanced Stat.
That is amazing how everybody loves this segment.
Stay or go.
Fantasy Outlook.
Stay or go.
Fantasy Outlook.
Yeah, we're going to go.
We could stop it.
We're going to go see Doc Linville because our hair. That's what we're going to do. We are going to go see Doc Linville, and Doc Linville is going to give us hair. And listen, it's not only that. Your wife wants, she's talking about getting, you know, adjustments, or she wants to be enhanced in places. Okay.
I know someone who went there for an enhancement.
You do?
Yes.
Yeah. How did it all turn out? Did you enjoy it?
I mean, it wasn't for me.
Enjoy the outcome?
No, because they didn't do it for me, and enjoy, as you're putting it, no. Well, it was for them.
You can't enjoy someone else's good fortune?
No, I'm not in a place where I would have the opportunity to enjoy.
Oh.
It wasn't about me.
Well, just
at
visually.
All. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but apparently they're happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're happy?
They're happy with the outcome. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Your guy did a good job, is what I'm saying.
That's right. He always does a good job. And listen, if your wife or girlfriend or whatever needs to, you know, any kind, but listen, this is about you. This is about your hair. This is about you not having hair. This is about you getting some hair from Doc Linville. 975hair.com. I love the outcome. I love what he did. It is awesome. It's the best I felt about my hair since 25 years or so. So if you're somebody that is looking for a great way to feel better about your hair, there's one way to go about it. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, you were wrong about this. Brazil is crushing Russia. No, I mean, they've got a couple players, but Brazil? Come on, much better. A much more talented team.
Huh, you guys are not subtle.
What are you talking about? They're up 11-7.
Score. That's what we're getting?
Boom. 850 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Cub fan Timmy says, no! Can't we interview a guy who doesn't speak English?
We did that yesterday.
We did that.
We've already done that.
We can't do that.
The guy from UFC reached out. How did it go? I'm like, we had a hard time getting connected on the phone at first.
And then,
for those who don't know, we had Cyril Gain on yesterday at 10 a.m., he is going to be fighting Derek, the Black Beast Lewis from the city of Houston in the headliner of the UFC 3 million, whatever number it is right now, that's going to be going on at Toyota Center on Saturday. Tickets sold out within like hours, so everything, all your tickets will be a secondary market, so good luck on that. But obviously you can rent the pay-per-view. Derek is a fun time, man. It's fun to watch Derek Lewis fight. But what we – Cyril Gane – I expected when they reached out and said, "Hey, Lance, would you like Cyril Gane on?" Like, oh, okay, cool, yeah.
Oh, that beast?
I didn't think he would be. Yeah, Derek wasn't doing that early. I didn't think interpreter would be involved, translator. But it was weird because we would ask a question, the translator would tell him the answer or the question in French, and then he would answer in English. But it was hard for us to figure out, is this the interpreter or the translator talking? Is this him? We couldn't figure it out. Then he didn't understand everything. It was a little rough.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little rougher. So that's what that reference
is. Do you want to hear 20 for 20 or Frenchy translating from a submarine? The connection wasn't the best. We couldn't understand him.
I told Megs, I'm sorry, here, can I get you in to go talk to Dana White and get some? Yeah, we can do something like that. So I'm going to try to get out there.
Can we change it to 3 for 3? There is literally no one left to talk about. Great time for me to make my phone calls.
No, we're going
to
do this. We could keep crapping on our own thing and just shut it down if y'all want. That's less work for us.
I mean,
I think they do want that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the people, then that's it. We're done.
Well, the people
we won't talk Texans this year. You guys win.
What? That's the people who are tweeting.
It's a big loser for us to listen to Twitter. Somebody's listening to Texans talk. I can tell you that for a fact.
All right.
Oh,
if you enjoy 20 for 20.
Jason, are you listening to what he's doing? You're going to get in trouble.
No. If you enjoy. No,
he's
this
not
no,
going to
no.
find anyone who's going to call in and say they enjoy.
Jason said you got to have. You have to have a topic, and for people
no
to call in.
No one is
going to
say they enjoy. Our whole bit is that you don't like it.
No, that's not a bit. We actually thought, hey, let's talk some Texans, and this might be a good segment where we get to break down the Texans.
We don't give them a choice.
713-780-3776.
You just don't give them a choice.
Please,
like
because
vegetables.
We've gotten nothing but negative reviews on Twitter.
This is
but
their
I
green
think
beans.
The callers, are like they love it. This I think the people really, Twitter doesn't speak for us.
That's true.
So why are you listening to him?
If you like 20 for 20, let's go. 713-780.
They don't like it. We're giving them the vegetables.
3776.
Why are you giving them a chance?
Eat your green beans.
Well, because we don't want to do something that the listeners don't like and don't.
You program our show.
No. We have to program it for the listeners. We're not programming it for ourselves.
Well, I know. There's not the listener count that we want.
I want the listeners to tell us. That they enjoy. I want to hear from the people that enjoy, that love 20 for 20.
This is going to go as good as your golf petitions for
713-780.
Hey, if you watch the Trail of Tears open this weekend, call in.
3776. No. Look. All right. Look. There's call it. Okay, vote. LZ Brisket Talk or 20 for 20 Texans?
Well, we know which one gets
look
more
emotion. Look, we got calls coming in right now.
Well, you don't know the content of those calls.
The content
yet.
Of the calls is we love 20 for 20. That's what I asked. Look, people who love 20 for 20.
Well, they have both hung up.
Well, they said all they did was say, okay, I love it, and they hung up.
Okay.
Ask Kenny.
I'll ask him.
Kenny Van Doren out there. Kenny, did they both say we love it? Okay. See? The people love it. The people have spoken. People have spoken about it. To Cub Fan Timmy says, please continue 20 for 20. He loves to make fun of it. That's why. That is certainly why. Did you see, is he going to get on the air?
The other person was fearful of getting on the air, so he hung up when Kenny asked if he wanted to be on the air.
Oh, he just called to say he loves it.
He didn't say anything.
Well, everybody
loves
it.
As soon as he heard on air, he freaked out and hung up.
All right. Is that Maurice?
I'm assuming. Once, that's still not how you spell it, Kenny.
That's okay. Kenny, we get it.
Does he write like that on Climbing Tiles Hill? Does he spell like that?
Marius?
Yeah, Mariucci? What is that supposed
okay,
to be?
Okay. Let's get him in here. He wants to talk about 20 for 20. What do you say, Maurice? Maurice?
Yes, Maurice.
Yeah, Maurice, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
What do you want to talk about?
I just want to say that I love the Texan segment, and to keep it coming, the 20 for 20 is life.
See?
It's life is what
it
we called it.
Oh, how about that, Cup Fan Timmy? All suck right. on that for a while.
So that's our answer, right? So yep. We don't care what you say on Twitter anymore.
Well,
no, because right? Twitter's not running the show.
Okay, so we won't even bring it up anymore. Your comments from
I like
now
the
on,
comments,
well, it's
though.
Funny,
your
though.
Comments on Twitter, because like we're comments. Wasting a whole segment with three guys complaining.
Are we? I mean, this is a short segment anyway.
Yeah.
Let's get
because
some
we
reaction.
Took a look. I want to hear, yes, we got post-game reaction. Chester, what do you think of 20 for 20?
Yeah, guys, the segment you're doing, the ESPN 30 for 30, it's really great.
See?
Well, it's not 30 for 30.
It's 20 for 20. But he wants 30 for 30. That's how good it is.
You want to go 30 days of 30 Texan players?
You're not the one that's on the app, the ESPN app that's all the time?
No, it's not the 30 for 30
thing.
It's not the 30 for 30
app. It's like shorter. It's like 10 minutes shorter?
No, we're not. No.
Oh, man. See, I think he was – I don't think he liked it as much. Miles Straw was watching the game yesterday, had a little – what, the emoji with the smirk on? Miles Straw.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be salty now.
How about that? That's pretty cool that Miles Straw – you would think he'd be a little bit bitter.
Oh, wait, what smirk? Does it
– Hey, he had a smile. He had a smile.
Oh, okay.
He had half a smile.
Is it after the game?
It was – I don't know what time it was. Oh, yeah, it came at 11:51 p.m., yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't like when Carlos screwed up the double play?
No.
I mean, I'm just making sure he didn't smirk like, no. Good. I'm glad to see the Astros screw something up.
And I don't know, Miles Straw for his start, but he turned into, apparently people love him. I love that you're watching, Nancy said. Trevor said, I love you, brother. And Roosh Williams, your boy, had a prayer emoji. And Bofin said he's a true teammate. You know what? That Miles Straw was watching, and he enjoyed that his former teammates were beating that Dodger ass. Hey, it's great.
They all took it. I mean, it's the same thing with Josh Reddick. I mean, they've all been listening to it, dealing with it. And they all, listen, the baseball players know that what a joke it is, that how many teams have done this. Mm-hmm. For the Astros to be singled out, they know. Baseball players know this is kind of a joke.
Yeah. No, it is.
I cannot believe how much stuff I saw at Dodger Stadium. The fans there are abject lunatics. I mean, legitimately, it doesn't take much for them to start throwing beers on each other. I'm talking about each other, not just the Astros. Swinging on security, throwing beers at each other, multiple fights in the stands yesterday, grown man telling other grown man to bang them as if they're trash cans. Yeah, that was something that happened. Oh. And Bill Plaschke said... As a writer in L.A. said, it's already gotten dangerous at Dodger Stadium. Fans throwing home run balls on the field at the Astros in batting practice.
Yeah,
come
that's
on, people.
Bad.
Boo and heckle, but don't hurt anybody. Be better.
That's bad.
This is a huge failure. Listen, Dodger Stadium and your security guards and your team. This is a huge issue. You know what they do in soccer? The home team will get penalized. If you can't protect the Astros, the Astros should just be pulled off the field. If Dusty and the Astros, James Click, thinks it's too dangerous, they should just say, listen, we're not going to play today. We'll have to make this game up some other time. Sorry, Scherzer.
It's too dangerous for us. Or without fans there.
Yeah.
How about that,
it's
Dodger
too dangerous.
Fans?
We'll play without fans. How about the Astros? If somebody starts throwing home run balls at the Astros again, just say, listen, it's too dangerous.
Yep.
Call Major League Baseball. We're not playing today. This is too dangerous. Do you know what that would do? Major League Baseball would have to step in. If they said, we're getting balls thrown at us at batting practice for the second day in a row, we can't put our team in this harm's way. We'll have to make this game up or this game won't count.
Yeah. No.
All those fans with their tickets, we wanted to see Max Scherzer. Too bad. I guess y'all shouldn't have thrown batting practice home runs at Robel Garcia. Dummies.
Yeah.
What did Robel ever do to you?
Okay.
Nothing.
That's all right. It's 9 o'clock ESPN 97.5.
Definitely didn't hit the home run in the seats.
Well, did you watch it on your patio last night or not?
No, I didn't. I got the patio all cleaned up, though, but I did not watch it on my patio, but I do have a patio that I love, that my friends love. I've had the guys come over, and we've done the steaks and the bourbon and things like that. I have had, you know, my kids went out when my nieces came in town just this last weekend. My kids and the nieces went outside, and they ate their lunch watching something on Netflix out on the patio. It's a great place to get away. My dad wanted to watch the Astros game out there. I'm like, nah, we're going to watch it inside. Sorry, Dad. We're not going out on, but we're going to go inside today and let the kids have that. But those are the choices you can make. You get the very best. You get the very best outdoor experience when the weather's good here in Houston, and you get to sit outside on your patio and watch your games, or listen to your music, or cook with your outdoor kitchen, or just experience just your own special place that you get to go and enjoy the evening or the afternoon. There's nothing better than that. And I say that, I'm speaking from experience. It's amazing the product they build, how nice it looks. People, you'll be the envy of the neighborhood, and it is going to add value to your home if you ever decide to sell. Prices are going up in Houston. The big differentiator is going to be a patio from Texas Custom Patio when it comes time to sell. TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5.